this is challenging, but like, oh, I've done challenging things in the past, or like, it also helps to put it into perspective too, right? When you're having like a bad day at work and you're like, mm-hmm. okay, like I can handle this because I've done much harder things. I've overcome insecurity and I've made a full season of a podcast.
Whatever the world has to throw at me. Have you heard of Meet Me by the Dumpster?
Exactly.
Welcome back to Meet Me by the Dumpster, a podcast about the messy middle of all things work by two colleagues turned friends. I'm Astrid.
I'm Mary.
Here we are. Last episode of season one.
Yes.
And what a journey it has been from our casual text conversation, just thinking about starting the podcast, to choosing a name, a logo, to figuring out audio engineering.
Oh God. Still have nightmares about that.
Ooh, yes. And to the harrowing experience of having to listen to recordings of yourself. We've laughed, we've cried, here we are. In this episode, we wanted to do a retro of sorts, a reflection back on the experience of creating season one. What went well, what was more difficult, what surprised us, and then we also want to do a little bit of a look to the future of Meet Me by the Dumpster.
Let's get into this retro. So a quick note about retros for those who don't know. I think retros, in theory, are a really good tool for retros or retrospectives are just a good tool for looking back on what you've done, say on a project or a campaign. It helps you sort of reflect like what went well, what could we improve, or like maybe what would we do differently next time. But I feel like for us, we have this
maybe a block around retro.
Maybe a block, yeah. A little bit of block, because when we worked together, retros were taken very seriously. They were reviewed, they were edited, they were overanalyzed to the point where they were totally redone before they were even shared with anyone that actually mattered. Mm-hmm. And I think that they just became a stress. And I just remember so many times of us spending so much time just like over formatting a slide to make the slide look good that like what we were trying to say never actually really mattered. So mm-hmm. I'm excited because this retro, we're going to do it our way and we're going to let it be messy.
Ooh, yeah. I love that.
See what I did there?
That was a great quip, Mary.
So let's get into this. So how are you feeling as we are, you know, starting to record this last episode of season one, Astrid?
I am feeling a lot of things, mainly I think a little bit of relief, like we made it. It's episode 8, which feels very satisfying. And I also feel a little bit of nostalgia just thinking back to when we first started talking about doing the podcast. I also feel a lot of gratitude to, you know, you for, you know, doing this project, for everyone who's listened and who's given us encouragement or feedback. And then a lot of joy. I mean, this has just been just a really fun experience and a sense of, yeah, here we are. We made it. What about you? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I think I can echo pretty much everything that you've said. And for some reason, I always get nervous before we record every single episode. And so it sort of felt like clockwork this morning. I woke up and I like had that pang of anxiety. Because I knew we were recording today, and I was actually thinking about that as actually a really positive thing, because I still really care about this project and I still have this desire like that I want it to be good. And so while I'm like really proud of us and how far we've come, I'm also just excited to see like where we can take it even further. And yeah, we set out to do this. I think we initially said we were going to do 3 episodes, and then we sort of like pushed ourselves, you know, increase the goal. And we have had some detours, some stops along the way. But I'm also just really proud that we made it to this point, too.
Yeah, I love that. We're still standing. We're still here.
We're still standing.
So I was debating by asking you first what had been most rewarding about creating the podcast, but I feel like, you know, we like to talk about like the dark, the deep. We don't like light and fluffy.
The so jaded.
I was like, that wouldn't be right. So I wanted to start by asking you, for you, what has been the most challenging part of creating this, or what has been the messy middle of creating this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. As I was thinking about this, I was actually, it kind of, the first thing that came to my mind was I think that in many ways this project has been kind of like holding up a mirror to myself. And I don't know if you feel similarly. But this project has been like, I mean, like a mirror, you can't hide. And I think all of the, in this project, all of sort of the feelings I've had or the stories that I've told myself about myself have kind of been revealed. And so I couldn't hide from myself in a lot of ways. And I think that came out for myself and for both of us in like a number of the different episodes. And I also just, I think what was challenging was sort of oscillating between at times feeling very insecure, when I think that the voice inside of my head was basically like, no one cares what you have to say. This is stupid. Like, no one cares what this one random white woman wants to say about this topic. But then also having those moments where when I was doing the editing, being like, oh, that was a really good insight. And being like, there is value in this and sharing our experience. And so I think it's just been kind of like riding that roller coaster a little bit and doing this project. I had no idea how it was going to turn out. So we both had to kind of like have sort of faith in the process and trust the process, which sounds really friggin' cheesy, but going forward with something, even though like we weren't sure like how it would turn out. What about you? What would you say is kind of been the messy middle for you in this whole journey?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, I love the metaphor of the mirror, because I think that is so true, and what a great way to describe what it's been like. And I think when we set out to do this, we wanted to be very vulnerable, and I hope that's come through. But I think that has meant that, yeah, at times it has felt very revealing, which is hard to put yourself out there like that and know that anyone could just listen to this thing that you share. Yeah, that's not easy. And then I think the point you made too about, I've also had that where sometimes I feel like, oh my God, why am I droning on again about this? Like, who cares? And then other times I'll be listening, I'm like, wow, this is amazing content, right? And the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. It's like, you're never as amazing as you think you are, and you're also never as, I don't know, terrible as you think you are, right? That's somewhere in the middle. So yeah, I just agree with a lot of what you said. I think for me, what's been difficult is listening to a recording of myself. And you know, you think when you hear yourself talk, like, oh, I know what I sound like, I know how I come across. But having to listen to yourself talk is really difficult. And, you know, we obviously edit, we cut. It's not as though we're just uploading, you know, oh, well, this is how it was.
Perfect. Yeah. As is. no room for improvement.
Yeah. No edits. But that's been hard. And it's also given me empathy. You know, I think before, when I'd hear about actors or actresses who didn't like to watch their own movies, I'm like, oh, it's a little diva. And I'm like, I get it. I think, I don't know if I'd prefer not listening. Like, obviously, because we're doing our own editing and everything, we have to listen. But it would be an interesting experiment what that would be like to hand it over to someone else and be like, well, God bless. Like, we'll see. You know, you choose. But yeah, that's definitely been something that, yeah, I've just found much more difficult than I thought of that, hearing myself.
Yeah, I think that's another form of like, right, the mirror, right? Like, you're revealing, you can't hide when you're listening to yourself. You can't really, there's nowhere to hide.
Mm-hmm. And some of the topics we've talked about too, you know, yes, we prepare and we come with notes, but then the conversation goes a certain way, or, and so, you know, we do end up talking about something that we haven't prepared and trying to have a coherent answer that you feel comfortable sharing, yeah, it can be a lot. Okay, on the flip side, what has been the most rewarding part for you?
I think in a lot of ways, this whole project just really pushed me out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And I think because it has felt a little, it's felt very revealing, it's felt like I couldn't hide, I think that it's like really helped me challenge the way that I view myself. Mm. And I mean, we talked about this in one of the episodes, but I think that I started this project being like, I'm not creative. And even, you know, I think I was a lot more critical of myself and was like, oh, other people can do that, but I can't do it. And mm-hmm. so this helped me sort of challenge, like, yeah, how I view myself. I feel like I can see myself in a creative capacity now. And to be honest, like, even when we first started, like, I was, like, nervous to talk about the podcast to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, I was, like, not downplaying it, but I was, like, I wouldn't bring it up. I mm-hmm. wasn't trying to. And I think there's uncomfortable feelings when you're, like, feel like you're self-promoting. But I'm actually feel like I'm in a place now where I feel really proud of it. Mm-hmm. And I know that this, like, podcast in this season is not perfect. And I think that's actually why I'm really proud of it, because I think that we did it even though we knew it wasn't going to be perfect and mm-hmm. we knew that it wasn't going to be, you know, the greatest thing we could ever put out there. But we did it anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to everyone out there, next time you see Mary, ask her about her podcast. I actually think we should get shirts that just say, ask me about my podcast.
Oh my God.
I mean, so many people have podcasts now that I think people would buy them.
And maybe it'd be funny too, because in some ways, like, I feel like there is, maybe this is also why I didn't want to talk about it, because sometimes, you know, when people are doing projects, like, or running a marathon or, you know, mm-hmm. doing something, they're like, it's all they want to talk about. And so it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to be the person who talks about it all the time. But maybe in some ways it'd be kind of funny mm-hmm. to, I mean, like, ask me about my podcast.
Mary's multifaceted. She wants to be asked about her sourdough starter. She wants to be asked about her podcast.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. I also wanted to say, I think the other rewarding aspect of this podcast is just how I feel like it's helped me connect with others more. Mm. I know we're going to talk about this more today, but I think that our friendship has really deepened through this podcast. I see you're getting a little emotional. a little teary, a little misty, a little misty in the studio. But yeah, we've had to confront challenges, disagreements, logistical coordination, like kind of like everything from A to Z doing this together. And so I think it's really helped us with our communication. Mm. And again, I think both of us haven't shied away from just being more direct with communication, or when we weren't, kind of being able to, like, be like, wait, okay, what went wrong here? And so that's been great.
Mm-hmm.
And I also just say that it's actually started some conversations with others, and it's been cool to see other people relate to these topics and just, like, start conversations or be like, oh, I listened to the podcast and I really appreciated that. Or, you know, basically anyone who's DM'd me and told me that they've related to one aspect, like, I appreciate you. And it's been really nice to connect on those things.
Mm-hmm.
So
an amazing answer. Wow.
Thank you. I mean, I really prepared. What about you? What would you say is, maybe my answer was too long. What would you say?
No, I loved it.
It's been the most rewarding part for you.
I think it's also a good sign that your answer for what has been the best part was much longer than the challenging part. So
let's hope. I'm actually using this as an opportunity to tell you that I'm quitting the podcast.
A dramatic ending. Yeah, I think for me, one thing that has really stuck out is the satisfaction of seeing something through. It's been so rewarding to go from the idea, right? And it's so exciting to have an idea and it feels full of possibility. And then to the actual logistics, recording. And, you know, it's a little cheesy, but I think there is so much truth to the sentiment, 90% of the battle is showing up. And I feel as though...
You always got those one-liners.
I think we've shown up And I, you know, have had creative aspirations before and have thought, oh, well, you know, okay, maybe I'll do that someday or I'll draft something, but I won't actually go through to the finish line. And so I think that's been immensely satisfying in that scenario. And it's also sort of crazy. I mean, we've done 8 episodes, and to think that there's people who do hundreds of episodes, like, wow, that is, you know, hats off to those folks.
Yeah.
And then it also made me think of, I think I've mentioned this before, the book Atomic Habits by James Clear, and he has a lot of points that I love. And he has this quote, every action you take is a vote for the person you want to be. And I feel as though doing this podcast has been a huge vote for the type of person I want to be. I want to be someone who does what they say they want to do, who believes that they have something to offer, who isn't held back by their fear. And so I think in a lot of ways this has become, I have this idea of touchstones in my life where I think back on things I've done that I'm really proud of and that give me strength and that I can go back to when I'm feeling, you know, when I feel like I'm not good enough for something or I can't do something. I go back and I think of those moments. And I think this has actually become one of those moments for me of, oh yeah, you know, I said I want to do that thing and hey, we did it. So yeah, I think that word comes to mind a lot is just satisfaction.
I love that. I love the concept of touchstones and like, it's like an inner, like it's like something you can pull from to like have inner strength to be like, this is challenging, but like, oh, I've done challenging things in the past. Or like, it also helps to put it into perspective too, right? When you're having like a bad day at work and you're like, mm-hmm. okay, like I can handle this because I've done much harder things. I've overcome insecurity and I've made a full season of a podcast.
Whatever the world has to throw at me. Have you heard of Meet Me by the Dumpster?
Exactly. Astrid, so we started this podcast so that we could talk about what, you know, we've coined as the messy middle of work, and something that we've obviously touched on in every episode is that like our relationship with work can be very fraught. Do you think that going through this first season that your relationship to work has changed at all? Like, do you think that the podcast has influenced that? And yeah, tell us about that.
No, not really.
Not at all.
Yeah, I think if you listen to the podcast, it's clear that I have a really healthy, just not complicated. So I think for me that I don't know that my relationship to work has shifted, but I think my awareness around how I approach work has definitely changed. Early on when we were recording, you shared some feedback that someone had shared with you. And by the way, we love any feedback we get. It's always great to hear what different people think and take away from the podcast. But you shared some feedback that someone had said that we have a really cynical view of work. And I think it made both of us laugh. And it also sort of surprised me because I don't think I thought I had a cynical view of work. But it made me realize that I actually really do approach work with a lot of fear, a lot of trepidation, and I view work almost as sort of this prison of sorts where I'm going to be punished, people are looking for me to do something wrong. And I read Tina Ross Eisenberg, the founder of Creative Mornings, describes work as a playground. And when I read that, I was just like,
can't relate.
I was like, what? That is, I mean, I think whatever the opposite of a playground is how I always feel about work. And I think just, again, you mentioned the concept of the mirror. The conversations we've had have been that mirror for me of, wow, I have a lot of baggage around work. And I think that's something that's become really clear to me just through the conversations we've had. And I don't think it, you know, it's not something that just is resolved overnight, right? Like, oh, and now I, you know I should approach work as a playground and not a prison. I don't think it's something that changes that easily. But I do think having that awareness is something that's been really valuable. And I have just been thinking, okay, how can I view work as, yeah, you know, maybe I'm never going to be able to view work as a playground, but how can I go a little more towards that? So that's definitely something that has just become more and more aware. And maybe for those who have listened, they're probably like, could have told you that episode one.
Well, I appreciate that. What I'm hearing from you is some curiosity and less judgment of yourself, which I think is great, because you're basically saying, okay, I've kind of had this awareness and sort of these themes and patterns have emerged, but you're not judging it. You're not saying like, I'm so flawed, like I need to fix this right away. You're like, okay, I've kind of become more aware of this aspect of myself in relation to work. And you're not even, I think this theme has also come up a lot in all these episodes, is that there's not like a right way to be, or there's not like, I think that there's just so many different ways to approach work, to be in the workplace. And so I like that I'm hearing less judgment from you. And like, it sounds like a little bit more compassion for yourself too.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. And I think before we started this, I don't think I would have even realized, I mean, not to say everyone approaches the work the same way. Like, obviously I know that's not the case, but yeah, it is just sort of a crazy concept. We all go to work and are expected to show up in the same way, but we all bring in such a different, like, just perspective on work, different narratives around work. And you know, we talked about that, I think it was episode two. But yeah, that's just sort of still a little wild to me. And like I said, I think just my awareness around how I approach work has really broadened, which, yeah, no, I appreciate you saying curiosity. I think that's a good way to look at it.
Well, and as we talked about in episode 7, you are in your exploration season, so continuing with that,
or maybe exploration era.
Exploration. Everybody's gonna have an era. Swiftie. Everything's an era, you know. Tomato era, Swiftie era.
What era are you in, Mary?
I don't know. You know, I don't want to be defined.
Oh, right. Okay. Pardon me for asking. Mary, you've also gone through some pretty big changes work-wise in the past 6 months that we've been working on this podcast. Do you think creating the podcast influenced any of those changes?
I'm always asking the hard-hitting questions. Absolutely, yeah. I think for me, similar to what you were saying, it's given you the space to sort of reflect on and allow kind of things to come to the surface. But I think for me, there's been some truths that have emerged as a result of doing this project and doing this podcast. I think the first one, which I was almost there, but I think it's kind of cemented, is that I can really define my own success. And also I can reject, I think, the pressure to even like be successful. And on top of that, I also don't have to have like all the right answers, or I don't even have to have the right answer at all. And so I think I resonate with what you were saying of like, oh, I've identified a problem. I think my previous mode would be like, I've identified a problem, now I must find a solution. And I think that doing this has helped me be like, I've identified some patterns. I've found some things, but I'm like, okay, but I don't have to have the right answer right away. And you know, as I've mentioned, I've been freelancing this year, and you know, I started freelancing as a result of being laid off. And so when I started doing that, I was like, okay, well, I'm going all in. I'm going to do this. And I, you know, I wanted to be successful because I think that's my nature, but I also have tried to be like, okay, like reflect, like give myself some space to reflect on, is this working? Is this what I want? Also, like what really gives me energy? And I think through this, I've kind of realized that, like, I like working, which feels like I'm not supposed to say that. Like, mm-hmm. it feels that stupid, or I'm like such a corporate sucker. Or like, I'm ooh, like
corporate sucker. Wow. It's getting a little X-rated.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Oh, God. I don't know what that conjures up for you, but
I don't know. Sucker. I mean, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that I've been like, oh, you're not supposed to like work. You're not supposed to enjoy working. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be like, fuck work. I don't like this. And I think that I've just sort of realized there are aspects that I really like. I think I thrive in a lot of these settings. And so I've kind of, I'm being more gentle with myself and being like, that's okay. That's just me. And mm-hmm. so I think it's been nice. And this podcast has helped me kind of like allow those truths to come out and be okay with that.
Yeah. Mary's coming to terms with herself as a corporate sucker.
God.
Could be your new LinkedIn title.
Oh, it's horrible.
I like it. I like it. We were talking about what era you're in. You're in your corporate sucking era.
Oh, God.
Podcast title. Yeah. No, it's also, you know, we didn't realize when we were starting the podcast, but we started the podcast when you were going through arguably a pretty, I mean, you know, like you said in your last episode, like being laid off, starting freelancing. I mean, we started the podcast. It's sort of a funny time for you in a way to be starting a podcast about work.
Right. But I also think that sort of timing is everything, mm-hmm. and also nothing maybe, but timing, I think the timing itself was I had more rental space. And again, I was like, oh, well, I have, maybe I thought I had nothing to lose because I'd already lost my job. So I was like, well, I don't have much to lose at this point. So let me go do this thing. Let me go do this project.
Our relationship was formed at work, and being colleagues has always been a huge part of our friendship. But this is the first time we've done a project like this together. What has that been like for you? How do you think it's impacted our friendship?
I've just hated it. Absolutely hated it. I'm kidding. I've absolutely loved it, honestly. And I mentioned this before, but I think it's really, really pushed us to communicate more. Mm-hmm. And I think we've mentioned this before, but like we talk about, you know, when you're in an intimate relationship with like a partner, you know, everyone's always like, communicate, like, right? Like you go to therapy and they're like, communicate better. Or like always the advice is sort of like, how can you better communicate with your intimate partner? Mm-hmm. But that's not talked about as much in friendship. And I think this project has really pushed us to communicate and deepen our friendship in that way. And I've had those insecure moments where in my head I've been like, this is dumb, no one cares. And it's been really nice that you've been able to like directly relate to that. I think this is what we talked about too, of it really helps having a friend at work because mm-hmm. they can really directly relate to the experience that you're going through. And so obviously doing this together and having a thought partner throughout this whole process has made that part easier. Mm. And I also just want to say, I feel like this pushed us to like put more effort into our actual friendship. Because I remember that there have been periods over this, you know, past, 6 or 8 months, where, like, we were just talking about the podcast. And then we'd be like, wait, we're actually friends. So we should probably work on our friendship, too. And mm-hmm. we should hang out and not talk about the podcast and connect in that way, too. And so I think it's made us, like, more intentional about our actual friendship as well, aside from this creative project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All you have to do is say friendship and I just start tearing up over here.
Exactly. Like, oh, friends.
It's a cry button. I just press the button and she starts crying.
Okay, so your turn. How do you think that this has impacted our friendship?
Yes, so much of what you said rings true for me. I think it's definitely deepened our relationship. I think by giving us shared goals, and I think that's usually something you only have with your romantic partner, right? That does bring you together. Like, oh, we're saving for a house together, or, oh, we're, you know, going on this trip together. And that's not something you have with friends. And it's actually made me think, is there a way to bring that element to other friendships? in, and I, like I said, I don't know what that looks like. But yeah, I just feel like it's given us, yeah, the word intimacy does come to mind, like just sort of a deeper intimacy of we have this project that we're doing together. And that's been really interesting. And I didn't expect that. I think it also, though, has added a little bit of an element of risk, which is interesting because, you know, we are dependent on each other, right? If you wanted to keep recording and I didn't, that would impact our relationship. And, you know, earlier this summer when you were talking about taking on a project that would have given you additional hours, but it would have really put you at your limit, and we were talking through it. And before this project, I wouldn't really have that much of a stake, right, in, you know, how busy you were. But because of this project, I do have a stake in how busy you are. And that was in the back of my mind a little bit, like, oh, if Mary takes this, you know, that's going to impact how we record. And so that was also an interesting experience to have, of being a little more tied together in that way. So that definitely is something that, yeah, came to mind. And then I think it also is added, and this goes a little bit to the shared goals, but just a new energy, right, of sort of a frisson that has been, yeah, just really, I think it's brought me just a ton of joy, like coming up with the ideas, having a partner and doing it. I think it's just left me feeling also really grateful for your friendship. And I think it's also shown me that, I think we also, starting as colleagues, has made this easier, because a lot of our relationship, we have been working on things together. So it wasn't weird to be talking about, like, oh, hey, here's this file, or
here's the actually, deadline.
Yeah. Or like, oh, no, like, I don't love that idea as much. That has felt pretty natural. And so I think that also has worked out well.
Yeah. And the guilt I feel when I'm like, I didn't meet the deadline that I set for myself. Like, I said I was going to send you the podcast version by tomorrow or whatever, by yesterday, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That actually reminds me, that's something else I was thinking about that has been different, because we've always, when we've worked together, we've had a boss, right? And so we've always had someone to sort of rage against, right? Like, we can unite and like, oh God, like, oh, I have to do this thing. And but on this project, there's no boss. And so that's also a little different, where, and I think I found myself sometimes almost putting you in the position of boss, where I'm like, oh, you know, is Mary going to like this social post? Or, oh, I really wish, you know, I didn't show up the way I wanted to that recording. Like, oh, I hope Mary's not, you know, disappointed. Or is like, oh, like, God, like, I should really, like, you know, that answer wasn't that great. And, you know, going back to what I've learned about myself for work, it's like, no matter the situation, you know, here I am working with one of my closest friends and I'm still like, oh, is she going to be mad at me?
Yeah, I think I'm the ward. I'm at the warden, in Astrid's prison, her prison of work. I'm the warden and I'm going to come down with a hammer. You didn't meet the expectations.
And yeah, I mean, we joke, but I think there is like a little fear that I have that. And I also, and I think this is probably healthy, right? I'm sure, I think we each want to show up for the other person. We each want to not impress each other, but yeah, like we want to, you know, put out something good. So we want the other person to feel like, oh, you know, Astrid's doing a good job. She's pulling her weight, things like that.
Oh, I completely felt that. I think that this project was very, sort of very parallel to like how I am in work. Like I wanted to, same as I think, I wanted you to think that I was contributing enough, that I was making enough impact, you know, that if I set a deadline, which all these deadlines were self-imposed, that I met the, and if I didn't meet the deadline, I had a good reason, which is so silly. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think that it sort of speaks to even the idea of like showing up, bringing your whole self to work or bringing your whole self to this podcast. I don't think that I could have done it any other way, truly. And I think that being able to, you know, show up as our whole selves to this podcast is also just, I think, helped make it more authentic and hopefully more relatable.
Mm-hmm. It also reminds me, you know, they say wherever you go, there you are. And it's a little bit like, you know, who we are at work is who we are on this podcast. And, you know, here we are. Wow. Season one. A lot of learnings, a lot of joy, a few tears, and a lot of laughs.
I think this must be an ad for Live, Laugh, Love. Esther's like, actually, we're going to make shirts to say Live, Laugh, Love on them.
And yes. On the back, ask me about my podcast.
Honestly, kind of iconic, because it sort of takes the most obnoxious things and kind of makes fun of them in a funny way. I feel like people would be like, that's ironic.
We'll discuss offline.
Yeah, season one. It's been such a joy. It's been such an adventure. Learned a lot about myself and hoped, you know, I think because we had these conversations so much together, you know, there's always that part where you think like, am I the only one who cares about this thing? Or am I the only one who has this insecurity or has this challenge? And it's been really validating to hear. And also just encouraging to know that other people have these struggles too. And that hopefully this podcast has been able to open up a lot of those conversations for other people.
Okay, like any good retro, now that we have reflected on the past, let's shift gears and look to the future. So we are very excited to announce that we're going to continue recording and are going to be working on season two.
Yeah, so season one has been, you know, focused on what we've called the messy middle of work, what we've coined the term. And season two, we are planning to be bringing new topics to the dumpster. So we're definitely still going to, you know, keep our tried and true work topics, which I think is at the core. But also we do want to touch on other topics. So a few things to give you a little taste. Why is celebrating birthdays as an adult so difficult? Navigating complex family relationships. Ooh, family dynamics. Whether or not we agree with the concept of generous exclusion. And also answering the question, can we be fun without alcohol? Top of the list for me for season two.
And as we wrap up season one, we just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who's listened, who's left a review, who's followed us on social, who's shared feedback. We are incredibly grateful for you and your support. And as always, we'd love to hear from you all. What topics have you enjoyed hearing about? What topics do you want to see us cover in season two? Drop us a DM.
Also, a special shout out goes to our two guests from season one, Johnny and Bethany. Thank you so much for trusting us and for coming on to share your stories. I know that we really appreciate it and our listeners did as well. And we are, you know, looking for new guests on season two. So watch your DMs, stay tuned. We may ask you to join us for a conversation on season two as well. But thank you again so much to Johnny and Bethany. All right. That's it. That's a wrap on season one. We can't wait to see you guys back at the dumpster for season two, which will be dropping in late October. So stay tuned.
It's going to get spooky.
I'm Mary.
I'm Astrid.
And this was Meet Me by the Dumpster.